Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 72 of the PE Geek podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here listening. Now, I really mean that. And in the recent months, the PE Geek podcast has reached a new level in terms of the amount of downloads that it's receiving on a weekly basis. And that figure has sort of grown by about 30%, which is really quite extraordinary. And it sort of indicates in many ways how podcasts have become part of more popular culture. And they're not just such a niche type of content these days. You can get them accessible via even your in-car dashboards in some brand new cars. And it just becomes so much easier to consume the content. So if you are someone who listens to this podcast and you enjoy it, the best thing that you can do is just to explain to others what podcasts are. If they happen to, you know, ask where you're getting some professional development, or, you know, what you're doing while you're exercising or traveling, let them know what podcasts are. Show them how they can actually get started, because from my experience, when people have been given that, they tend to become quite addicted to how powerful podcasts can be. I know personally that's the same for me, and having just shown my mother exactly what podcasting is all about, she's got right behind it. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be diving into seven observations I've made around the use of technology in physical education. Now, these observations have come from many years of working with teachers all over the planet, both in workshops and online through this website. And they definitely aren't an exclusive list in terms of there are way more observations that I've made, but these tend to come up over and over again in workshops, in emails, in all the different forums that we communicate in. And I wanted to sort of break them down, talk about them in a bit more detail, and just give you something to think about as we move into 2017. Now, one of the first observations that I've made over the many years is that there is absolutely no correlation between resources and good, effective use of technologies in the PE classroom. Now, what I mean by that essentially is that to think that all you need to do is to get more resources, have more iPads, have more devices, better connection, better this, that you're going to therefore lead to you using the technology better for student learning or for student engagement or whatever that may be that you're after, is a little bit of a fallacy. Now, I've observed this in so many situations, having worked with, personally consulting lots of schools who have what you would say is abundant resources, absolute, sort of to the point where they don't really necessarily have to say no to anything. If they want it and they can, you know, showcase that it might be useful, they end up getting it in their practice. And as a result of that, they often lead down this path of thinking that the way to solve their problems is by just purchasing more and more and more. And as a result, a lot of the times, some of the worst practice happens in these type of schools. Now, I sort of have a real personal connection to this in that I come from a school that was not incredibly well resourced. You know, they, you know, we had not necessarily bad resources, but we were somewhere in the middle. And, you know, it meant that we had to be a little bit more creative with how we use things. So for a long time, we didn't have Wi-Fi access in our practical spaces or our PE spaces. And that meant that therefore we couldn't use some of the tools that other schools and places could. So it meant that we had to be more mindful about what we did do. So this idea that just simply throwing money or resources at the solution is going to equate to better practice is so wrong. And more often than not, it's the schools with the least amount of resources, with good teaching practice sort of molded in, that can make things really work. Now, the second observation that I've made over the years is that the best tech use is invisible. Now, what I mean by this is that I really don't care what device you're using, or that it's, you know, present in front and everyone sees that you're using a device and it's this, you know, wow factor or whatever it is that sort of appeals to technology. And I'll be honest, I've had that before where I've been using the latest thing and thinking that that's the reason why something is working. But to be honest, the best tech use in a classroom is invisible. If whatever it is that you're attempting to do is so not needed by the fact that you don't need to be seeing the tech, it's just part of the lesson and it integrates perfectly, then you're onto something. Now, when tech is so visible that it's obvious that something's going wrong, or it's put in place this extra step in the process that once was not part of the process, and all of a sudden it's become so obvious that technology is in there and it's not working and it's clunky, and you're sort of getting away from whatever it was that you were putting it in there for the first place. So in all situations that I've seen, when tech use has become invisible and the task that the tech is enabling is the priority and the focus, and the tech is just a byproduct, they're the best situations. And in all the situations where I sort of see best practice, that is very evident. The best tech use is invisible. Now, the third observation I want to make with you is that it's really becoming irrelevant which device you actually have access to. Now, in the days gone by, obviously, there was a lot of preference to downloading iOS and Apple devices and Apple apps. And even if you look through the blog now, you'll see I have a big emphasis on those. That's becoming less of the case. You know, I personally have an Android device. I have a Windows device. I run a MacBook as well. And that's purely because I get the opportunity to write content for as many platforms as I can. But the reality is that still far too many of us are asking that very question of, we're a Mac school or we're a Windows school, and that means we can't do X. Well, it's really not the case anymore. It's sort of becoming irrelevant. What was once quite difficult to navigate as separate entities is really become blurred by this amazing thing that we all have access to called the internet. The internet is the leveler. It doesn't mean you have to have the latest technical capacity on your device. As long as you've got that internet connection to the browser, then you are probably going to be able to do the same things and features that the kid who has the latest and greatest tech can do, because the internet is where all of the stuff that we are doing these days tends to take place. Now, no better sort of example of this than, you're looking at a lot of the cloud tools that we use. Things like Google Drive, you can experience that on a $100 Android tablet, or you can experience the same thing working from your laptop, albeit with a couple of differences on how you interact with it. But the tool is almost, like I said before, invisible, and the object of whatever you're attempting to do is the real focus. So it is becoming irrelevant where or what device you're using, and as that continues down the lines, we're going to get to a point where it doesn't really matter if you're running an iPhone. The same possibilities are going to be happening on your device as if you were using another device. So watch out for that to continue to grow. Try and check into that conversation if you hear people saying that, we're really a Windows school, we're really a Mac school, and that means we can't do X. That's really not true. And if anyone's trying to sell you that, then they're certainly not up with what is the reality of the sort of current environment. Now, the fourth observation that I've made over the last sort of probably 2 years, more than anything, is that big screens can be an absolute game changer for smart use of technology. Now, you will have heard me blog about these a lot, dedicated episodes to them, but essentially a big screen, I mean having a projector or a large screen TV or whatever it may be in your practical space, so that students can be immersed in whatever it is that you're doing on your device at a larger scale. Now, I think the reason why this works so well is it changes this mindset about PE simply being roll the ball out and, make kids active. I think absolutely that's fundamentally what we do, but there's so much more to our profession than we think. So the more that the PE classroom moves into a classroom environment where deeper learning happens, where reflection happens, where some actual discussion happens, and we use that to craft these experiences that develop people who are physically literate and want to be active for life, the better. And I think the big screen environment really helps with that because we actually get the chance to craft learning experiences that aren't just one directional run until you can't run no more and jump and skip and whatever, but they are inclusive of other modes of instruction, which can be really quite powerful in a big screen setting. So I'm seeing a lot of schools and working with a lot of schools that are doing exactly that. They are getting big screens into their practice and working in ways to use tech to help deliver content in a more meaningful way. Now, the fifth observation that I've made over the years is that there are very much common challenges and triumphs that are happening on a global basis. Now, what I basically mean by that is that, you know, I cannot go to any country in the world and not hear the same types of issues, the same things that are working for schools. And I think that's both, you know, reinforcing of many of the things that I believe to be quite powerful. You know, they are seemingly quite powerful across other places and they transfer into other countries and so forth. And it sort of shares many of the same, you know, things that we're attempting to do. But at the very same token, there are many of the same challenges. So, you know, I go to countries all over the globe every year and I hear the same things. Things like we don't have access to X, or, you know, our students are getting distracted by the use of these tools, and what are some of the different things that we can do to prevent that? These are all very similar across the planet. Now, in the next episode, you're going to hear, in many ways, some of the data that came from the 2016 World Tech and Phys Ed audit, which some of you may have participated in, and you're going to hear some of those common challenges that people face, and they are not pinpointed to specific countries. And I tend to get this type of email a lot where people say, hey, Jared, you know, I want to go and visit a school or a country or a city. Who's using this stuff the best so that I can visit three or four or five places at once and, you know, make the trip worthwhile? And I to be honest, I say, look around your own area. You're probably going to find very similar use of these things done in a good context as you would if you crossed the planet, crossed the, you know, the country and went into a school. Because what I've noticed is that we are struggling with many of the same things. And many of the triumphs, that are happening across the globe are also quite shared. Now, the sixth observation that I've made is that it is possible to clone yourself using technology. Now, I think this is quite powerful. And, you know, in many ways, a lot of you are teaching one to sort of many relationship where it's you and the students and you're passing on information to them. They're reciprocating with that and we go on. And we value this one-to-one opportunity where over the course of, let's say, an entire year, you may only get a handful of moments with students one-on-one. And if you added up those amount of times and extrapolated across the year, it's not a lot of time, you know, that you've got individually to work with students. And that is, I believe, one of the massive assets that technology has in that it is possible to clone yourself. So if you think about that initial, what tends to be happening in a PE setting where you've got instruction and, you know, a teacher standing at the front and they're sharing something, you know, with tech, we can make that a little bit more personal so that the student gets to pick, or they get to watch a video, or they have some sort of, you know, deeper engagement in that conversation that initially is triggered. And then you as the teacher are almost freed up to walk around and assist one-on-one even more so, because the 80% of the students who have managed to grasp that concept through what was a video or another type of instruction delivered digitally, you've freed up that a mass amount of time so that you can now spend a little bit more time working with the remainder 20% that are probably going to result in needing further assistance, and you've now got more time to be able to do that. So I really do like to think of technology as being able to clone yourself. I think that's inherently one of its massive potentials. And I think if you can wrap good teaching practice around this, then you can do some pretty extraordinary things. You know, I think we always talk about, wouldn't it be nice if we had more teachers or less smaller class sizes? Well, tech can help us be a little bit more efficient. And then that time that we do have with the student can be a little bit more valuable than it currently is. Now, the seventh observation that I've made is that tech can increase our student activity time. Now, I commonly hear that, or maybe a little bit more in the past, that if you're using technology, then it means that you are X, probably not going to be being active. And that may have been the case when laptops and desktops and lab-type situations were the norm related to technology. But as we've evolved to mobile devices and as we've evolved to, you know, items such as Fitbits and, you know, Apple Watches or whatever it may be, this notion that tech is somewhat something that we do discreetly and can only happen when you've stopped and you're not active is probably not the case. Now, in terms of accessing and using things like Fitbit devices and so on, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they've increased physical activity in students, in adults, etc. And the big reason is that data helps trigger more physical activity by being aware of it. So I don't believe that necessarily throwing out the conversation that if they're using tech, they're not active is accurate. But I also don't believe that just because you use tech, you're going to make kids more physically active. There's got to be good teaching wrapped around it. And there are a myriad of examples of people who have introduced tech and at the very same time, they've given more physical activity time. Now, I think the best example of this that comes to mind is using tech to help select teams in your class. Now, this may be something that you do every single week, and the traditional way to do it is to stand there and, you know, assign students between different groups and so on. But with a tool such as TeamShake available for your iPhone or your Android device, you can instantly create teams that take into accountability levels and who should and shouldn't work together. And as a result, what was taking you 3 or 4 minutes has now taken you instant. And you can then spend that default time to get started. The other example is that, you know, imagine your students are rolling into class after having been changed or just, you know, coming from their previous class. And we know what it's like. They don't all get here at the same time. So you can use tech to get students instantly active with some sort of instant activity, say Swerkit or Fitness Blender or something along those lines where they're getting active straight away and the remainder of the students are coming in and you can be there present to deal with their situation and, you know, check them off and, you know, mark attendance and deal with their minor issues. And at the same time, the tech is augmenting some physical activity for the students that are already in the room. So I absolutely fundamentally believe that smart use of tech can increase student activity time when it's placed and wrapped around with good teaching. Now that brings us to the end of episode 72. And as I mentioned at the start, this isn't an exclusive list of observations, but they're some of the most pressing ones, the ones that come up a lot, the ones that I find myself saying quite often to teachers who email or get in contact related to various ways that they're using technology in their practice. Now, I will follow up in the future with another series of observations that I've made around the use of technology, and I hope you found this episode useful. So even if you take away one of these observations and use that to form your thoughts or reaffirm something that you believe yourself, then I believe that it's going to serve its purpose as a podcast episode. Now, in the next episode, we're going to be diving into the results from the 2016 World Tech and Phys Ed Audit. You may know this is something that we do on a yearly basis, and it gives us a little bit of data just to share with you about what people are doing, the sort of devices they have access to, the troubles they're facing, and so on. And the episode will dive into the results from that session and some of the insights that we've gathered. And it also helps us prepare the content that we're going to roll out for the following year. So more often than not, the sort of things that people are struggling with and want training around, well, they become the sorts of things that we end up giving that training around. So I look forward to seeing you in episode 73, and we'll speak soon. Bye.